is anything unless my father's name is there, because I'll give you some little information
and
you'll see what it is. But in the meantime, you want to ask me some leading
questions? Sure. Now, did your parents come from, where did they come from?
Here's an interesting story. See, this is my father, so.
Yeah.
You know, and he writes, he was a proud man. He writes quite a story here. He came from Galicia, from a small town in Maiden, and he tells about the whole story here.
Yeah.
He says how he, you know, you just read it, well, roughly, I'll tell you to get a story. He says, I lost my mother when I was 3 years old and grew up in this village until I was 21 years of age. I then entered the Austrian army where I served 3 years and was a corporal. In the meantime, one of my brothers, who was in America, sent me a ticket to come here. I came to South Providence and found about 40 Jewish people, some with families and some without. They made a living from peddling junk.
Sure.
I opened the junk shop, and when I saw the people sweating from carrying rags and bottles on their shoulders, it reminded me of the time I used to carry 100-pound weight on my back in the army, so I hired a carpenter to build them push carts. I built a place where they could come to worship. I also built a place where they could organize themselves, an organization which paid the members weekly benefits in case of sickness. Then in some places, a money society was started where they could borrow money on a weekly payment with small interest. In my hall, they started the South Providence Free Loan Association, and I was the first one to donate $50. Today, the South Providence Free Loan Association has a capital of $25,000. They loan over $50,000 yearly to poor families without a cent interest on a weekly payment.
Yeah.
I don't know when this was written.
Yeah. Oh.
I tried and succeeded in getting the agency of the steam line tickets. When a man came to me for a ticket, I didn't care how much profit I made on the ticket. What I was interested in mostly was to get some person away from the miseries of the foreign countries, whether he was Russian, Romanian, or Polish. The only thing I cared about was to get his family to the United States. I brought from 2,000 to 3,000 people to the United States from Russia, Romania, and Poland.
May I? Is there
oxygen? Yeah, you can, yeah.
Fine. Then, in other words, your parents met here in this country, or did they?
No. Well, my parents. No, they were married in Europe.
Oh.
And they got here in 1890. I was born 1960. Is the when he died.
Oh, that's the obituary,
And this is a true story about the Jewish people, about myself. I was born and brought up until I was 21. I said, yeah, I mean, there's the same thing repeats itself on this here. All kind of illness. But he has a varied career, see?
Hmm.
And he tells a story about it, which is quite interesting. See?
Yeah.
I came to the United States in 1893 and landed in South Providence and found about 40 Jewish people. Now he tells about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of, see, when a man came to me and wanted to bring his family from his native land, I helped them out. He would repay me on the easy weekly payments. I didn't know, care how much profit I made and so on. I helped him.
In fact,
one of my father's weaknesses is too trustworthy.
Well,
he was the richest man here in South Providence, but when he died, he didn't have any. So I mean, that's what. And we were very, in those days back there, we were the wealthy ones. We were considered the wealthy people. We were here and like Max Rand and, a couple of others there. Now, you'll need to ask me any questions, but then I'll elaborate.
Yes. Now, why did they have the hall originally? Was it built, it part of a building, or?
No, it's the same old story. When South Providence started to grow a little bit, people had to congregate somewhere, and they, and my father found that they didn't have any place to meet. They had to have meetings, they had to have, the different organizations. So he built a a hall. It was a wooden hall in those days, you know.
Yeah.
And in that hall there, that was the center of all the social activities in South Providence. Every Jewish marriage was there. When they had the ball there, when they had the dances there, that was there. And as I said, it was either Tats or Banda was the musician, the violinist there, and they used to play for all these dances. Then we used to have all kinds of gatherings there with the boys and girls. They used to come over from the North End and come there to South Providence, way back in those days. And that place there was also, the hall was upstairs, and downstairs we had some stores. In fact, we started many a politician there, like Morris Robertson, the journalist. His first office was in our building there. See, now we had our office there, and he had his law office there, and he used to go to be their mates. See, and then that hall there, we had different other things. In fact, we had different other businesses in that hall. We even had a jewelry business in that hall there, where we used to make those combs with the celluloid things,
yes.
You know. In 1907, that thing burned down. See?
Yeah.
Now then my father put up another building there. He was a real estate, not so much real estate. He was always in this junk business, the waste paper business. But he always, he was way beyond his times. In fact, he had so damn many businesses, and everything was on his shoestrings. So he put up this new building, a brick building, that he put up in 1908. See? And in that building there, he had all kinds. In fact, we used to have Friday nights, we had to use the movies. We were the originators of the neighborhood movie houses. Every Friday night, we used to have movies, and we used to charge 10 cents admission. And we used to have at least, 100, 200 people there, you know, in that night. We used to put up the chairs there. And of course, my sister used to play the piano for the silent movies. We had an operator that used to come in every Friday night and operate these things, piano playing with the movies, and of course these movable seats. And there used to be a lot of racket, a lot of show. We used to have a fellow by the name of Jack Barfield. Everybody knew about Detective Barfield. We used to walk around with a big stick, and then the kids used to make him be quiet. Things like that. Well, anyway, we had quite a rush there in the movie house at night. And then, in the meantime, somebody said, well, if you're building this, why don't you have a movie downstairs instead of upstairs? So when he built that brick building, see, first the wood, but then when he built it, he built it higher so that he could have a movie downstairs. Well, that didn't pan out, so then he had various other things. He was the originator. We had bowling alleys and pool rooms and whatnot in that building. That's back in 1908 when that started, see. And as I say, my father was in various businesses, see, and beyond his times, he was not only in the banking business, the South Providence Free Loans Association, or the South Providence Security. He used to lend his money, and if a man didn't have an endorser, he would endorse himself for him, you know, and things like that there anyway. And all the old timers used to be there. We even had a laundry there, you know, a wet wash laundry right there in that building. And it did tremendous. And we used to live across the street at the beginning, at 162. And we had quite a three-family house there, you know. And it was pretty fancy in those days. He had some money. And you know, fancy ceilings, fancy chandeliers, and things like that. And today would be quite an antique thing.
Was this lower near Gay, or how far down on Willard?
You know, Stanford Street.
Yeah,
between Stanford and Gay Street. And then, so that was an area, right? But on the corner, I don't know if you know the area.
Yeah.
Can you picture the area?
Yeah, I have maps of it.
Well, just below Stanford Street was the Willard Avenue School.
Oh.
Right on that corner of Stanford and Willard Avenue.
Oh, I see.
See?
Yeah.
As you went further down, you got to Plain Street.
Yeah.
Well, the minute you got to Plain Street, it was cut off. the Irish used to live on the other side, we used to, the Jews used to live on this side of Plain Street. If there was any fighting going on, they would go down to Plain Street and confront each other there on Plain Street. And say, now back, go back to Woodward Avenue. We come to the Woodward Avenue School on the right.
Yeah.
At Stanford Street. Now then Stanford Street, then came the hall on Woodward Avenue. Right around the corner of Stanford Street, all the old timers used to live on Stanford Street and Woodard Avenue. And then the next street was Gay Street. And on the corner of Gay Street, you had a little of the Rysdale. Weinbaum used to have a Weinbaum. Then Greenville, you had a little variety store, and they all used to go in there with their 1 and 2 pennies and whatnot and buy there. Now, across the street from the was the delicatessen. That's when the Winskys was there, you know, in the corner of the delicatessen store. And along Gay Street, there was either a grocery store or a meat market or whatnot. Now, going along Willard Avenue, see, going up from across the hall, once going up, then you had all the old timers used to live there. Besides us, we used to have a dozen others that names are pretty well known. And I don't know whether Hornstein, you remember Hornstein was a lawyer in town?
Oh, here. Yes.
He was my contemporary, next door to us, and then David Korn lived at another corner, and David, then we used to have the meat markets there in the corner, there, all the, right in
the
there.
Activity.
Then we used to, besides having a shul in our hall too, you know, for the holidays, see. And then something happened, I guess my father wasn't made the president of the shul, so they had a shul there on, as you go up Willard Avenue, see. They had one shul on the right, and then I had another shul in Tremont Hall. Where the blacksmith shop used to be, above the blacksmith shop, was a Tremont Hall, where they used to have a shul there. And on the right-hand side was the Mzika Dash shul. But I guess my father wasn't made president, so he went over to Robertson Street and built his own shul.
I see.
So he can become the president of that shul.
I see.
So that's where the Austrians, or the Galicianas, were separating from the Russian, from the Litvak, you know, and all that there. So, I mean, there's always that rivalry between them, always going on.
And so, in other words, at one time, there would be like four little places of worship.
Well, you had different groups now. You had the Austrian, and then you had the Russian. And I don't know if there's anybody else that did have their own religion. But I tell you, you know, they say you get three people together and you build a new shul.
Were they all Orthodox?
All Orthodox. At that time, there's no such thing as Reform. Later on, Reform went up to Bethel.
Yes, yes. Well, they were.
It was already up on Broad Street. Away from everything.
Yeah, well, originally, they were down at Friendship Street, the Reform.
Friendship Street, where they started. They started at Friendship Street and then went up to Broad Street.
Would you say your family was a observant, Orthodox family, or?
At those days, they were all very observant. It's when the next generation came along that they broke away from everything.
Oh, yeah.
But they were very observant, and they were very particular, and kept the holidays, and kept the Sabbath, and kept the kosher and everything else. It was very, very strict in those days until the next generation came along, and then they started to taper away from it.
How many children were in your own family?
Well, I had 1, 2, 3, 4 sisters.
Oh.
And I had one infant brother, I guess, that died.
Yeah.
But 4 sisters and myself. And still have 2 of them living. Oh. I don't know, the others, one was married to Levinson, Sidney Levinson, he was an accountant.
Oh.
And one was married to a Strauss, who was in the part of the Strauss family in the metal business. They all separated.
Yeah.
And a few have died, and a couple of them still living, and so on. But South Province was the center of the mecca of everything.
Oh, yeah.
And And then, as I said, my father says he got into the junk business, and that's the waste paper business. Mm-hmm. Right in back of Willard Avenue, you go up Willard Avenue, this way. Back of our house at 162 Willard Avenue was a street called Ash Street.
Yeah.
Ash Street had all of the junk shops.
I see.
See, we started off Ash Street, then there was Zellmer and Bedrick and a few others there. They were all each had junk shops. They were all competing with each other.
Well, what do you mean by saying junk shops would be where it's like secondhand stores, or were they?
Well,
it was
no, they would. In those days, they had peddlers.
Yes.
Man came to this country, as I say, my father got him a push cart, so you go out there and holler rags, yeah, bottles, and yeah, and bones and whatnot, see? Mm-hmm. And they go out and they collect these things, they have little rags there, a little paper there, and a little there, in the push cart. Then about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they would come to the junk shop. There, the dealer, the junk dealer, who was one step above them, see,
yes,
would buy this stuff, the metals, the rags, and whatnot there, say, and in turn they would sort of put it together, process it in some way, and sell it to another higher dealer, say, or they would sell it later on to big dealers and mills and whatnot, say. They start off as a junk shop, say. Now, so everybody handled that. We became very big in the, we handled, for the most part, the waste paper end of it. I'm still handling the newspapers. Still handling the old newspapers and magazines and things. So many things, it's a different picture today than it was in those days. So my father used to buy when they used to go out, and the push cart would come back. If anybody from the house would have anything, you know, they'd bring it over, he'd give them a few cents for it, you know. And it accumulated. And when he had a little volume there, then he would turn around and he would sell it either to another dealer, like over North Main Street. Simon Klein used to be the big guy. You remember the Klein family?
Yeah, I remember
that. Simon Klein used to be the big dealer in metals, say, in rags and things like that. And they used to take the metal over to him. And at the end of the week, they needed money, they went over to him, they sold him the metal, and he gave him the cash to settle up on the Sunday, you know, and then had the money to pay out on Monday morning. So if they were short, they would borrow a little bit from Klein, who was, you know, always giving them some money in advance and things like that there. But, so this whole street, of course, now it's been torn down, you know.
Yeah.
And there's no more Ash Street today. Revamped the whole thing. I haven't been down that area now myself in the last 10 or 20 years.
No. But I know somebody told me that Ash Street they call the Wall Street of Willard Avenue.
Didn't look like a Wall Street. Wall Street means a brokerage. If you want to call brokers a junk, well, the Wall Street is where they made their early money. Maybe they all made their early money, but it was a scrap street rather than a Wall Street. And they used to all handle all that stuff all along the street there.
I listened to a tape that we have at the office that somebody had done in 1970 of a Sadie Jacobs. And she, now I am assuming that Jacobs is her married name, but she keeps referring to her parents who came to South Providence in 1881, and she said that her father were the first ones to start a congregation there. And I never, in no place can I find the name of the parents, except that there is a reference to a Jacobs, and I was wondering if maybe she married someone by the same name as her own. But the Jacobs name doesn't mean anything to
it's
you?
It's possible that they might have come at that time, but I don't know the Jacobs. The name Jacobs doesn't ring familiar. There's some Jacobs family, I guess, but I don't know if they're, as far as Stockton,
How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Okay, you get, look for Dominic?
Yeah.
Look for him in the back.
Okay.
Well, in any case, that's...
It may be that they come, but my father said he came here in 18, what did you say?
93.
So, but you know, as I say, we were in the steamship ticket business, and we used to take care of all these families brought over. And I mean, some of the best families we brought over, you take like the Hassenfels.
Yeah.
We brought all the Henry and Mel, what do you call his father? We brought them all over, his father and his brothers, Hillel, and the whole bombs of the whole Hassenfels family. And we can go along the whole line there, and any number of people. As a matter of fact, I was in the business there for a while, too. And I used to go down to Ellis Island and meet them when they came in.
Yes.
And then any time they came in, they didn't know anybody. And all they knew was our name.
That's how they would come to prominence.
That's how, because they had relatives here, and I would take care of them. In fact, we used to arrange with Alice connection, we used to arrange to take them right from their hometown, steal them over the Garrets, over the boundary line, get them to the steamship port, see that they had $10 in their pocket, get them a steamship ticket, and they had this team all prepaid, and then they would land in Ellis Island, and then they would be coming to Providence. And that's what their relatives would be. And this goes back a good many years, and on the books. But after a while, they stopped the immigration. Immigration was closed down about right after, in the late 80s. There was some immigration law that they said had to have quotas. And this quota there just killed the whole immigration business.
Well, I suppose the reasons they came were the same as for everybody, the military, for the boys, and
military, and of course, this is a very desolate and a very painful existence in Europe. And they were oppressed, there's no question. They had their programs, they had their anti-Semitism there, and they had their czars and their things like that, and their kaisers, and they had a very hard time of it, you know, just like the fiddler on the roof. That's really a typical. So, anybody that had a relative in this country were lucky, and then the relative was lucky that the relative had a few dollars that they could bring them to this country.
Do you think when they came into this area that they met up with anti-Semitism in Providence, around the Willard Avenue area?
Well, maybe probably didn't notice it particularly, but of course probably compared to what they were left, it didn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. But there's always some anti-Semitism, there's no question. There's always a rivalry between the Jews and the Gentiles.
But I mean, as a child, did you encounter it as a young boy particularly?
Not particularly. I think I encountered it after I got to college, probably, you know. Then I began to see that there's a separation between the social and the life in college, between the Jew and Gentile, which is the same today as it was in those days.
Yes.
Maybe not as a little bit covered over now, where in those days it was a little rougher, you know. And of course, there's no question in those days, the Sheenies and the Kikes, they were named and called, and you had it.
Yeah.
And of course, when any of these fellas came along that did a little better than somebody else, they were especially antagonized, say. But as a whole, they got along all right. They had a few people that help them out, and they built up some connections with the Gentiles. And of course, the Gentiles always made an extra buck out of these people here, you know. And they were the original ones, and now they're now being supplanted, you know, by somebody else. And of course, the labor situation, too, you know. Of course, the Jews got into the jewelry business in a big way.
Oh, yes.
See? And so when they came to South Providence, immediately, either
either the men either went jumping or else they were the jewelry.
Yeah.
So you had the big, the Leber Company,
yeah.
Silverman Brothers,
yeah.
Cutler and Copeland, you know.
Yeah.
These are all big in the jewelry business. And they needed people to set the stones or glue this in and glue that there. And the women and the men, the girls, everybody worked in the jewelry.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing in Providence with the jewelry center in those days. And so they worked in the jewelry factory. So they worked. But when they wanted to get on their own, they got into the scrap business, they got a little better off, and then they became. Then they got a lot of them dabbled in real estate, you know, they bought a house, and then they bought another
yes.
house, and then that, their first, second, and third mortgages, you know. And then they had friends down at the bank in those days. They had an Italian-American bank, they had the Westminster Bank, and back in those days, you know, that used to have a friend here and there that used to say good for them and help them along, and just to loan them a little bit. And that's the way they gradually worked up.
You said your family had, you know, fairly good housing, but what was the house like, I mean, that the normal person would move into? I mean, as far as facilities, can you picture them? They must have had gas lights, or they have kerosene?
Oh, yes, they had gas lights. I think from my time, I don't think there was any slum area as far as South Providence are concerned. They lived in tenement houses.
Yeah.
And now there may be three tenement houses, maybe a sixth tenement
yeah.
house. See? And nobody, then very few lived in single homes, you know.
Did they have, I read also that they had, like, they went to get their, they'd have their bath. They didn't have tubs or anything. They probably had inside toilets.
I don't remember. I think they had, but I guess maybe we were a little better off than somebody else.
Yeah.
But as a rule, it is not like the colored people or all the others, you know.
Yeah.
Their standard of living, considering, was fairly good. They had a four-room flat. They lived on, say, Willard Avenue. I mean, all the Stanford Street, Willard Avenue, I don't know, Robinson Street. They lived in a flat.
Yeah.
See? And a four-room flat, and they each had the dining room, and they had their two bedrooms, and they had a bath, a private bath, and all that. As a rule, I don't remember any slums. I don't remember the time they didn't have to go outside to the toilets or anything like that. We didn't have anything in those in my day. Might have grown a bit further back than that, but we didn't have any slum areas in South Providence.
Yeah.
See?
The only thing that I gleaned from talking to other people was that a lot of people would share the rooms because you were always bringing in some cousin or something till they could get on their feet.
Well, I think that's more typical of New York City, maybe, where we're into the crowded condition. Mm. It's true that they might have had, sometimes they were taking boarders to help out, you know. They needed a little money, they'd take in a boarder, they'd feed them, or they, you know, he'd sleep there, or, you know, like a paying guest. But each had their own little place. There wasn't any, really, and I remember any house I used to go into. And going back to that period, now, before that, there weren't too many Jews around. So, I mean, as I didn't...
Yeah.
Remember any substandard situations? They had a house. In fact, it was not. They used to keep building houses there and building, so they were new, fairly new all the time. See, and some lived in a better house, and some lived in a fancier tenement. But as a rule, there were three tenement houses. They didn't have any two-family houses. They didn't have any single. Later on, then they moved away from Willard Avenue. They went up beyond Prairie Avenue. Mm-hmm. Now, the other side of Prairie Avenue was already a little higher tone. And then when they got over off the Broad Street section, now we moved, say, first we moved from Willard Avenue, we moved to Mount Vernon Street, which is off of Prairie Avenue. think they were already one step above the Orthodox Jews that came from the old country. I think the old church were a little bit educated people in those days. And I remember that they were a little higher type, you might say. And the way they live on Dudley Street.
Yeah, that's what
so
she
they
had
knew,
said.
See, that's on the fringe already, you know, of this south, where they're under Robertson Blackstone Street. See? Now, but Blackstone, like my Dr. Winter, remember him?
Yeah.
He was born on Blackstone.
Oh, uh-huh.
See?
Yeah.
Well, we used to slide down the hill from Blackstone Street down to Gay Street, you know. I mean, those things, everybody lived within that area. Then they branched off. Now my grandmother, she was quite a matriarch. She was the one that built the thing. And she'd build a house on Dudley Street.
Was she your father's or your mother's mother?
My mother's mother.
Uh-huh.
My mother's mother. She was really the, you know, there's always, her husband was a nebbish.
Yeah.
My grandfather was a nebbish at that time.
Oh, I see.
See? But the mother, my grandmother, was really the head of the family.
Oh, uh-huh.
And she was the one that used to guide everybody. And,
what was her name?
Her Hannah Heller.
Oh.
The Hellers. I don't even know the Hellers, you know. Yeah. Who's around now? Heller. H-E-N-N-A-H, Heller. Mm-hmm. And she used to be the head of the family at that time.
Also, Sarah Weber talked about the orphanage that was behind the synagogue for a few years, the something Hadat, you know, the synagogue you mentioned at the corner. It was the corner Prairie and Willard, the one they built, you know.
On the corner Prairie and Willard, I don't know so much about it.
It was there for a few years. The women had some children there, and then they merged with the one from Wall Street.
Yeah,
but for a few years, they had some children. Yeah. It was in the journal. I got that information.
And you get up to the corner of Prairie Avenue, you say.
And
on Prairie Avenue, you had the drugstore there. Wilson Swipe used to have a drugstore up on that.
Oh, yeah.
Have Angel's drugstore.
Yeah.
Then Rosenzweig took it over. And then, of course, that was a variety store. And in fact, Max Brandt's mother used to have a millinery store right next to it.
Was Siegel around that area, or was that City Hall store, Mr. Siegel?
Oh, yes. Siegel, the history of the Siegels is this. It was Max Siegel.
Yeah.
And Becky Siegel.
Yeah.
Max and their father Siegel had a little store. Max worked in the jewelry store, and Becky used to stay in the store.
Oh.
Then they got over on Prairie Avenue, and they had a little hardware store. Mm-hmm. Max still worked in the jewelry and came home, and Becky still took care of the store. And gradually, this hardware store grew until they went down, became the City Hall Hardware. See, then became very big in the Seagulls, were very big in the hardware business. They were born into real successful ones.
Well, what about, what's his name, Kane? Did he come a little later?
Kane is another one of the contemporary of my father's.
Oh.
Ben Kane had a drugstore on the corner of Blackstone and He was there, and his wife also was there. They used to run this drugstore. And all across the Jewish doctors were all along Prairie Avenue. There was Dr. Cohen, Dr. Stark, Dr. Libby, Dr. Pover, and then there was the old timers, was Dr. Fishman. And then there was Dr. Plainfield, these were all the doctors in South Providence. And they all used to do business with Ben Kane's drugstore, Arnold Blackstone, my friend Herman Feingold, and each what the Canes. So, and gradually the Canes branched out into another business, and they became very big in the their houseware business.
Yes.
And they invested money in flour, they made some money. And then we had Sidney Cane, and, you know, and Irwin Cane, and Howard Cane. These are all offsprings of Ben Cane. And so that was the history of Ben Cane. Ben Cane was a very articulate servant. And he became a counselor. He became the political man. And in fact, my father competed with him all the time. My father wanted to be a politician too. In those days, the big politician, the big name, was Harry Cutler.
Yes.
Colonel Cutler. Uh-huh. He was never in the army, but he was appointed by a governor.
But then he lived in that area, or he?
He was in that area further up.
Oh.
But he was already of the higher class. He was a tendency down then. I think he was one of the reform. Oh.
Yes. No, I know he's big. Yeah, I've got a lot about him.
But he used to sort of come along in the South Bronx area because he was a Lutheran. He was a senator and I don't know whether he was a senator.
Then I have the name of Jacob Eaton also. Eaton. Jacob Eaton
from North End.
Oh, I see.
Jacob Eaton from North End was one of these real politicians. He was, he ran the whole North End. Everything that had to be done had to go through Jake Eaton. And but that's North End.
I see. Well, this time I'm not concerned with the North End. Now, and David Korn, I'm going to see if
David Korn, I'll tell you the history on David Korn.
Yeah.
David Korn and son, say they were in the hay and grain business.
Yeah.
Also along Willard Avenue, just a little bit above Gay Street.
Oh, then it was near your place, is it?
Yeah, along with that. He had a hay and grain store. People with their horses, that those day makers horses, they would buy their feed and the grain and their oats. David Korn. Mm-hmm. And David Korn used to live opposite, you know, where Gay Street is, right across. He used to live in that house there. Oh. It was about a six family house. David Korn, and then his sons became a lawyer, still a lawyer.
Yes.
But they were very religious people. Mm-hmm. David Korn always had a beard, and he was really a next door to David Korn used to be a Rosenfield family.
Oh.
The rest of the name. They used to call him Abela Rosenfield. Because he was a tall, thin, he looked like J.C. himself. And he had a bunch of daughters. And all good-looking girls. Yeah, and they had the baking stores in, the Lodge's Bakery. Yeah. Remember Lodge's Bakery?
No, I remember Snell's.
Snell's?
Yeah.
Snell came after Lodge.
I see.
Sheila Lodge used to run the bakery, and then they had a couple of daughters who used to stay in the store there, and then they were quite a girl.
Someone mentioned the Ackermans that had a delicatessen of some sort, or?
Ackerman?
Yeah, that name.
The Ackermans, I know the father Ackerman, well, that's another Ackerman. The Ackermans, one family of Ackermans is now Paramount Sales.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Now, his father was also in the Adichung Shop.
I see, yeah.
And one of them, then the son's got an insurance, one got an
office.
Now that's a Paramount Office Sales.
Oh, yeah.
That's Ackerman.
Yeah. Now, did you feel, people have mentioned famous people that came out of that area, like Harry Shulman was born around there, you know, he became the...
Yeah, I didn't know he was already after him.
Oh.
I mean, I knew he came from that area. And he used to live on Stanford Street,
part
of there. And he was one of the men that became a great man.
Yeah.
Schulman, what is he at?
He had been head of something in Yale, at Yale University. He was a famous lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
But then he died early. I think he was he died in his early 50s, someone said. But I remember there were some famous, well, people that made out well from all of this, actually.
I don't think there were too many intermarriages in those days. You know what? I was just thinking, and you mentioned intermarriage on Stanford Street. Do you know there was a family name of Goldsteins about Stanford Street? She married Serentino.
Oh.
Vincent Serentino from the Uncas Manufacturing Company.
Yes.
Serentino Italian married the Goldstein girl.
My mother worked in the jewelry with her when she was going around with him. And my mother told me the story. I remember my mother died in December of 72, but she used to tell me that if her family had accepted him, he would have turned Jewish, but they, of course, wouldn't.
Right.
And so as a result, they were...
They seemed to get along because they stayed married for a good many
years. Oh, yes. And a couple married Jews from it, but I think most of them didn't marry.
No, Jews. I don't remember too many. Those days, I don't think there was so many intermarriages.
No.
I think it was quite a stigma if there was any intermarriages in those days. Very few when you come down there. Very few intermarriages in those days. Of course, now I've become more liberal.
Yeah. What schools did you go to? Did you go to this primary school,
Willard? I started off at Willard Avenue.
Yeah.
Went to primary school there. And then we went to Point Street School.
Uh-huh.
Point Street School was the grammar school. And there we had the principal there was a man, my name is Sowen, with a beard, and he was quite a man. And all the kids from South Province, from down lower end, would go to Point Street. Now those who lived a little bit further up Willard Avenue would go to Peace Street School.
I see.
You see?
Yeah.
Now, but we went to Point Street School. And we used to walk from Willard Avenue. We used to go over to Point Street School, which is more than people walk today.
Yeah.
See? But we used to walk there and we thought nothing of it. Then from Point School, I went to English High.
I see. Yeah.
In those days, it's Central today, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
And then I went to Brown,
mm-hmm.
and graduated Brown in 1919. See? And, so most of them either went to Jewish from South Province, either went to Point Street or the Peace Street School. They landed in the high school in that area. You had the classical, you had technical, and you had English high school in those days. And you should know English was also called commercial high school.
Yeah, and there was commercial and technical,
that's where they used to go to school.
Chester Avenue School was...
Another school, Chester Avenue.
Because not only did my husband, I guess, go there, but a lot, I think they had night classes there for the people who wanted to learn.
Well, as a matter of fact, they all had night classes.
Oh,
I had coming in, I used to take people down to Point Street School in the evenings and where they got lessons in English.
I see.
See? And they used to go to night school. It was quite a thing to go to night school in those days.
Oh.
Night school. The Jewish people, you know, are educational minded, and they were willing to want it to learn all the time and better themselves all the time. And so they would go to school and make sure that the children all went to school, you know, and because they knew what it was meant to be without education.
Oh, yes.
And so they gave it a lot of emphasis.
Did you get a Yiddish paper at home, or did your
family? Oh, in those days, the Borowitz and the Tageblatt were the Jewish papers. Of course, the new generation couldn't read it, but all the old generation read it. Of course, they knew that they kept up with what was going on in the world through the Tageblatt and the Borowitz, and those two were the main papers that came out of New York.
And your folks spoke Yiddish at home, did they, or? Did they?
At the beginning.
Yeah.
At the beginning they did. Of course, after a while, with all the Englishmen, I don't know how many people, I think Yiddish was sort of became a forgotten language. I was happened to know more about Yiddish than the others because of my steamship ticket business.
Oh, yes.
I had to converse with a lot of the people. And so I knew quite a bit of it. And I knew quite a bit of the old country and all the towns and all, because we used to take them even from the smallest little town and different cabanas and different little towns. And we used to get them to the bigger towns and bring them over. So I'm very familiar with all of that there. And as I say that, we were in every business conceivable. My father was a pioneer in the moving paperwork, moving house. He was a pioneer in the banking business. He was the first man to have a branch bank.
What?
A branch bank, a neighborhood bank.
Was he interested in Zionism or any of those groups in those days? Or,
Not so much Zionism. I didn't hear about anything that had to do with the Jewish people. I think he was a strict Zionist. That is a Zionist who believed in going back to Israel or something. I don't say there was not too many Zionists.
Well, they had the Faban.
Right?
Yeah, because I was wondering. I had a list of the organizations. There were so many different Jewish organizations. I had. You know, they would change their, oh yeah, they changed their names from one to the other. Like, for instance, I had the Independent Savings Association of South Providence, of course, the Camilla Pesset. South Providence Independent Aid Association, South Providence Hebrew Men's Association. Willard Social and Athletic Club.
No, those are not.
And then, did you hear...
The ones that were the Camilla Pesset. So,
yeah.
Or the Workmen's Circle.
Oh, yes.
They had the workmen's got together and made a circle to take care of their own. Or then they had the fraternal organizations, like the Turo. But there was a Hebrew Free Loan Association. Yes. The Gamil Pesach is still in existence.
Is that different from the Hebrew Free Loan?
I think that's the same.
Yeah. What if, you know, now this, I got the name of Providence Protective Junk Peddlers Union. Isn't that something?
Maybe somebody might have tried to start something, but I don't think it's
These were associations that they wrote up in the historical notes. I didn't know. Of course, they had solicitations through the Pushkies. Everybody, I think, had them in their
house. Everybody had Pushkin in their house. Hadassah in those days?
I don't know. I remember we had white with blue on the
mug. That's right. There was always that there.
And somebody would come, and my mother would put in coins there.
Yeah, they used to have that in every house. They used to have them go around. Mm. And then they had the different things. Of course, then they got the hospital started, that's another history in itself.
Did your family use the St. Joseph's Emergency Room or Rhode Island Hospital? Do you remember any reason, either of the hospitals around there?
Oh yes, we went to Rhode Island Hospital to be by.
I see,
Rhode Island Hospital, right on Dudley Street. That was really the hospital to go to. And then the Irish used to go over to St. Joseph's.
I see.
The nuns and all that, and the habits.
And
I guess the Jewish people didn't always care about that, but they went there. My father, in fact, last days were at the St. Joseph's Hospital. But of course, Rhode Island was considered a better hospital and more liberal hospital, say. Although it depends on your doctor. If you are a Dr. McAvoy, he would want you to go to St. Joseph, you see. But if you had one of the other doctors, he'd want you to go there. I think you even write a whole history about the doctors going into surgery in this town.
Yeah.
It was a tough thing. I remember a very difficult thing. Dr. Lindsay, for instance, was one of the first men to be able to go into surgery.
Yeah.
And had a hard time getting his surgery.
Yeah.
And then And of course, they started the Mary Gospel and the Carnival, that dish, you know.
Oh, yes. No, that's...
Those are the days. Dr. Libby, he's still living.
Yes.
I've never seen him in years, but I remember I used to go hang around with him. I used to hang around that Kane's drugstore in the back, because this Herman Feingold was a close friend. And I used to hang around there in my growing up days. And then I used to pal around with, I used to go out with Dr. Libby and his calls, and Dr. Starr, and then we used to go to Dr. Cohen's house, you know, and he always had a poker game or something like
Did your family have any social life, or was it just concerned mostly with the family, would you say? You know, your parents, did they go to the Jewish shows or do things like that?
Well, it was a rarity, Jewish shows. One too many. Every once in a while there would be a Jewish show, and Tom Oshefsky would come to Providence or something like that, and all the people would go, and they would be selling tickets, and the people would go. But the social life, I think, mostly was the family. I don't think they had, the younger people had a few dances, you know, they used to have, and they used to have a few clubs, you know, they used to get together with. But I think the older, talking about the older generation, my father, I think it was mostly family, get together. And every Sunday, of course, it was a big day. We used to go out on a picnic. Now on Sundays, you know, Rhode Island Workman's Circle would have a picnic, see, and they would hire one of these big moving vans. They would park it on the corner of Gay and Willard Avenue, and every Sundays at 9, 10 o'clock, they'd all sit in this moving van, you know, and they'd go over to Palace Gardens.
Where would that have been located?
That's over Lakeshore Drive, you know, where Buttonwoods is, you know, where Oakland, you know, towards Rocky Point. Off of Hoxie, off of Oregon.
Yeah, that's...
Palace Gardens. That used to be the center of the social. We used to have picnics practically every Sunday, and every organization would have a picnic. And they would bring them out, the barrels of beer, and everybody would pack a lunch, and they would go out there. Of course, after a while, people, now we were the first ones around town to have an offer here. I had the marketing club back in the early days. And before that, of course, we had the horse and carriage. On Sunday morning, we'd hitch up a couple of horses that we had in our business with one of these surreys, and we'd drive out to ride in Williams Park. That was quite a distance. And we would park there and hitch the horses and have our picnic. In those days, I was a rich man's son. I would follow along with a pony. I was one of the original guys that had a pony. And my father wanted me to get dressed up on a Sunday morning with his little pony and this little surrey and pony. And I used to follow my father in the other car. We used to go to Williams Park, and that's a big deal.
Well, my husband talks about his father had, they'd converted to a sleigh in the winter.
You had a sleigh with the horses. You had a sleigh those days there, and I had a sleigh with a pony, too. I can remember the time I went out to, with the sleigh and out to, and I got as far as Rogers Park. And I froze my hands by the time I got back. I was wondering how I was going to make it, because so cold on this in this sleigh. I bundled, but I froze my hands. I can remember those days. It's going way back.
Well, did the streetcars have horses, or was that, or did they run by the trolley cars?
Trolley cars. You know, I don't remember any horse cars. I don't know. We had any horse cars. We had trolleys.
Yeah.
We had the Plain Street trolley, we had the Prairie Avenue trolley, and that would go downtown, see? And we would get on the trolley there for a nickel or a dime, things like that.
Yeah.
And we'd go downtown, and then we'd take the trolley back again, see? And that's the transportation we had in those days.
I remember the trolleys, because Broad Street, you know, I lived right near Broad. And then in the summer, they'd
open
be open.
You'd jump on the railing there, and you'd have an open-air trolley. They had two kinds of trolleys.
And they would go out as far as Oakland Beach and Rocky Point.
Oh, yes. In fact, you told it, for the younger people, the big social life was roads on Patuxent.
Yes.
Then we used to go out by trolley on the Broad Street trolley. We used to go all the roads.
Yeah.
And then we used to go dancing, especially on the weekends there, every night. They had the ballroom with the big name bands. And there you would go out and you would meet the boys and girls there. And then they would be dancing there.
Yes.
Then they would come home again.
Now, my mother said that's what she'd do. She'd go with the girls and they'd meet the fellows there.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the right thing. They knew where the girls were going to be and they knew where the boys. Everybody would have their location and they used to go out there. Then, of course, we used to go out as far as even Hunts Mills.
Oh.
Vanity Fair, Crescent Park.
Oh, was that?
In fact, I live right there at Riverside.
You do now?
I
see. Yes.
And I live there now. We sold a house on Bird Avenue. And that used to be this. But they used to get around the younger people, but of course you're more interested in the older people.
Yes. But I mean, even like as I say, my mother and I, the reason I brought up and you brought up Mr. Tatz was. What was his first name? I never, do you remember what Tatz's first name was?
His son was Carl Tatz.
Oh.
Carl, and then a daughter, Elsie Tatz. Tatz. Gee, I'm trying to think of it. He was a thin fellow, quite a dancer, quite a violin player, quite a musician, and he would dance, he would have a band, he would have an orchestra, attached orchestra. He always had to have attached orchestra for all the dances, for the weddings and things like that. And of course, the weddings would be the highlight because they would be really the Jewish type dances, you know. And they would have the weddings, we had the weddings in right north over there.
I don't think too many went to the temple to get married. Yeah. They had the chuppah and everything right in the hall.
Oh.
Sure, right in the middle of the hall, and then they take the chuppah down and put on one side, and they go in for the dancing. And then they would feed them there too, you know, all around the hall. And they would have tables, and in the middle they would have the dance floor. And I'm trying to think of Tatz's name, but it disgusts me.
I spoke to Evelyn Zitzerman. Zitzerson.
Is that the testimony?
Her mother's name is Mrs. Greenstein, I think she said.
Greenstein.
And she, I think that's what she said, her mother's. Darsher. Finkelstein, I'm sorry.
Oh.
And I think she said she has one of the certificates that was given, and I think her mother's close to 100, and she just went into the Jewish home in Fall River, and I think she said that her mother was married in the Zaskal.
Oh, yes. We had all the weddings. We didn't have any weddings, like we go to a temple, and then they go to a reception. Everything took place right there.
Well, I think that I'm trying to get together about you know, these types of categories, and then I'll write it up from that angle. What I'm trying to find, and I don't know if anybody has any snapshots that were taken on Willard Avenue of either any of the stores or the places or people in. I don't know whether maybe I could find it through the journal, but I didn't know if anybody in their own possessions had any pictures.
Well, I don't think anybody was interested in taking pictures of the location.
No, I meant if they happen to be posing in front of a store or in case in front of the area.
Taking those pictures was rare. Somebody would come up with something.
Yeah.
I don't know whether. I haven't seen any old time Blood Avenue pictures. Oh, I don't even know whatever happened to Blood Avenue pictures.
I don't know.
I mean, the only thing in the newspapers might have.
Yes, or also the Rhode Island Historical.